As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Hello, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. Welcome to the Wednesday, April the 22nd, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com. Check out my little website, if you would, www.vocallocal.org. Gives you all of my programming information, I guess you could say. Also, might look at the OzarksVoter.info website if you have time this morning. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you once again today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. I think we're all looking for a little bit of happiness these days. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. As I must say, hope makes a dandy breakfast, but it makes a lousy supper. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, nevertheless, and we're going to cover a little bit more of that philosophically radical concept today. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the OracleBroadcasting.com chat room, or pick up the telephone and call in. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014 to join me live on air or take Oracle with you on the road. I think there's some call-in features there that you can take advantage of. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. And, of course, your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org. And I have received some very interesting emails in the last 48 hours. Really enjoy getting them, leading me in some interesting places for my own research as well. Things will bring out on air as soon as I can wrap my mind around these concepts. And for those without internet access listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, 65647. And a big shout out to Liberty Radio and Micro 1650 AM. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local. Again, those websites are vocallocal.org and ozarksvoter.info. The listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065, and the Oracle chat room is open. Gold remains steady above $880 as the Asian markets resume buying. We'll look at that. Those golden arches, I say, anarchism. We'll continue our expose. Of course, we'll take your calls and much more. Let's go into those market reports for Wednesday, April the 22nd, 2009. Active trading, New York City. As of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 hour ago, gold was trading up $3.30 at $886.60. Silver was up 12 cents to $12.18 a troy ounce. Platinum, 1,173, moving up $20 so far in this morning's trading. Palladium, down $9, trading at $230. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up yesterday 127.83 points to 7,969.56. The NASDAQ closed up 3,564 to 1,643.85. The USDX so far today down 4 basis points, trading at 86.48. Crude oil off 20 cents, trading at $48.35 a barrel. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, 881.30 for a low, 891 for a high. We're seeing a spread there of about $10. The spread is getting narrower, folks. We'll be right back on the other side. Be with us.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy, my name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we're back right here on the Wednesday, April the 22nd, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. My name again is William Roberts, and we're going through some news here. In the previous segment, we started in on and covered most of the market report for today. We find gold up $3.30. In New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, trading at $886.60. A very narrow band in the, as far as the lows and the highs are shaping up in the spot market. If you've noticed over the last few days, we've been seeing a band of about $14. Today, the spread is narrowing. It's very solid, right at that $880 range. Low in the market of $881.30, a high so far today, $891. They've had to change the XY scale, changing the X scale to a $2 increment. It's a very narrow band of trading. So we'll see what happens with all of that. The spot market's going to close in 7 hours. Keep a track of it. You know, it's going to be different by the time it gets around to closing bells. In the foreign exchange rates, the Canadian dollar today, off a little bit, but just a minor amount, down at 80 cents how does the foreign exchange rates work? We trade in our U.S. dollars when we go abroad or when we're doing business or settling transactions in foreign countries, this basket of currencies we keep hearing about. I've picked the Canadian dollar, the Mexican peso, and the euro and the British pound for four of our various foreign currencies to throw into our little basket of currencies, so we follow it on a regular basis. 80 cents today for a Canadian dollar. You can buy Mexican pesos and fill up your pockets at 8 cents apiece. The euro, that's a little deeper dig, running right now at $1.30 U.S. The British pound is still strong at $1.45 U.S. Where all those are going to go, they won't change much, but they change a little bit. And as I like to say, if you're talking about billions and billions served, those decimal post points after the decimal point start to add up to money in a hurry. Anyway, let's go into the rest of the market reports for today. We've got a new article here from Jan Harvey. Kind of like the way this guy writes. He writes for Reuters, unfortunately, but what do you get? You know, London, April the 22nd, gold edges up and awaits directions from the U.S. equities. Keep in mind that as we go into these various reports, as I've stated in the past, many of these writers have, in my opinion, two files in their file drawer. One of them is labeled gold goes up. The other one is labeled gold goes down. So they take out the boilerplate whenever gold inches up a little bit and insert that in their articles. And then when gold goes down, they take out that boilerplate and insert that. So we've had a little bit edges up, inches up a little bit. And so they bring out all of the haven from risk language. But what we really need to do when we look at these financial pieces of news, I guess, is to try and find something of value, of something of interest in there, something that might actually be driving the markets. Of course, we know that that is demand. But let's look into this article by Jan Harvey off Reuters, April 22nd, pulled it off Bloomberg this morning. Gold inched higher in Europe on Wednesday in light trade supported by interest in the metal as a haven from risk. There's that boilerplate. Amid uncertainty over the outlook for the wider markets, along with a firmer physical demand. In other words, there are buyers in the market, a little firmer physical demand. But as we can see, that firmer physical demand is not enough to really start driving the price. But the prospect of a higher open among Wall Street stocks gain and fresh strength in the U.S. dollar, typically a key driver for gold, are likely to limit gains, traders said. So here again, we look at these various phrases, and we can start building our own little cut, copy, and paste, I don't know what you call it, a compendium of cut, copy, and paste phraseology that help us to understand these items more. Typically, a key driver for gold are the Wall Street stocks and strength in the U.S. dollar. So we watch the stocks. We watch the dollar. That's why every day we talk about gold, silver, platinum, palladium, Dow Jones, NASDAQ, USDX, crude, kind of like a litany. But these are the various indices that give us an idea or a window into the economy. Of course, I could talk about the S&P, but one of the primary reasons, and this sounds ridiculous, but I'll just tell you why. Might as well be straight up and honest here. I don't have any gold to sell. Don't make any money at this. One of the primary reasons why I don't include the S&P on a daily basis is because there's not enough lines on my little notepad that I use to keep these things. So I use the Dow Jones and the NASDAQ, and you can go find the S&P. All right? Real simple. Just not enough lines on my piece of paper. You could go on and on endlessly. But I've picked these, and these are the ones that we give out every day. Let's go into the article again. Back again from Reuters, Jan Harvey writes this. He says, but the prospect of a higher open among Wall Street stocks and fresh strength in the U.S. dollar, typically a key driver for gold, are likely to limit the gains, traders said. Spot gold was bid at $84.50 an ounce against $882 an ounce late in New York yesterday. Continuing here, he says, gold is looking at equity markets for direction right now. Now, this was Standard Bank analyst Walter DeWitt, all wet here, good old Walter. But I want to just bring this out. This is kind of like an anthropomorphism. This is where we take things like gold or silver or platinum, and we give them these human qualities as if gold is actually looking at the equity markets for direction right now. Basically, that would be those who would invest in gold, or gold investors, or you could simply say investors or speculators or analysts or somebody. But gold really doesn't look at anything. Gold is just a commodity, if you will. But nevertheless, continuing here, he says, equities play an important role, particularly in a week when there is no really important macro data. Now, there is some importance right there. You know, these guys get paid by the, megawatt. They get paid by the digit or something for all of the letters and all the words that they write. obviously, probably get paid by the comma or paid by the exclamation point or whatever. But so they have to say something. But in this particular week, there's not really any important data coming out, and so it's just kind of a ho-hum week. Now, you could just put all of the news on hold for 7 days and come back a week later and see what's happening, and that might be prudent. But they don't. They just put this stuff out. So as you noticed yesterday and the day before, I really haven't been reporting too much because, quite frankly, my opinion, and it's only my opinion, there's not a tremendous amount of economic news to report, at least not at the level that I study this stuff. People like Lee Rogers and the others, you know, Rob Chowda, Doug Owen, Michael Vail, they all get in there and just scour around. They know all the little back places to go and look. So they bring out the more poignant news. I just give you the general daily news. Going on a little further here, he says world stocks, stocks broadly weakened in Asia, helping the precious metal ticker higher, have drifted higher after a lower open in Europe. Volatility in stock market helps gold, which is often bought as a safe store of value. So now we reach into the gold goes up vernacular, and we pull out a safe store of value, add that to our haven from risk, firmer physical demand. These are key phraseology in these writers. You can just throw that away, but it helps to know it, so we just repeat it, I guess. Nevertheless, a firmer dollar typically weighs on gold. So that's another one of these phrases. We just kind of file them away in our memory banks. We put them in our cut, copy, and paste bin, and they'll help us to understand the markets just a little better. We'll be back on the other side. Stay with us.
The 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic food,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions. solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at debtcrisissolutions.com. That's debtcrisissolutions.com.
And we're back once again. There's lots in the there's lots of activity happening in the chat room, folks. You know, I really, if you have access to an internet connected computer, you're listening to the live stream today, you might want to check out the chat room here at Oracle Broadcasting, oraclebroadcasting.com. So often we've got really good news getting dropped in here, links, things that you can interact with on a real time basis. So many of our listeners are competent researchers themselves that it's kind of a shame that we can't get it out to even a greater audience. Maybe we all need to look once again at the various sundry micro-broadcasting opportunities that are out there. And anyone with the financial wherewithal and the time and the energy available might want to consider getting into that. We'll have to have Jim Berryman and Sam Britton and some of the other micros broadcasters come back on and teach us a little bit more about that and keep that drive going, because we really do need to get this information out to a wider audience. Going back to our article here again, Reuters, April 22nd, a little bit of important information in here, but I'm sharing this article for two reasons. One, in a one-page article, it gives you a lot of this boilerplate language, but if we don't understand the boilerplate language, then we don't understand when we're getting hosed sometimes by those that make money off of gold and silver. We do need to understand that. They're in business like any other businessman. Of course, they're going to promote their wares. But if they're promoting the wares at the expense of the buyer and the investor, if you will, or those that are trying to preserve or protect their wealth by purchasing the precious metals, then, of course, it doesn't really do us any good, does it? So let's follow along a little bit further here. He says, elsewhere, an uptick in physical demand for the metal in Asia ahead of the, and I don't know how to pronounce this properly, not a Buddhist myself or whatever, an East Indian, the Akshaya Tritya Festival. This is going to happen on April the 27th, so everybody make a note of that. 5 days from now, this festival, I don't know whether it's a one-day festival or whether it's a week-long thing or what it is, but this, I've read it many times now, this Akshaya, A-K-S-H-A-Y-A, T-R-I-T-Y-A festival happens on April the 27th, and this is an auspicious time for gold buying. Now, we could go into superstition and things like that and belief systems and whatnot, but if in India, if in Asia, the people there believe that if they buy gold on April the 27th, that augurs well for their future, well, then we need to be paying attention to that, because as we've seen in previous articles, India is one of the primary buyers of gold and globally, at least those that buy it for immediate investment purposes. A lot of what we call jewelry in India are these bangles and things that the ladies, maybe the men wear them too, I don't know, mostly probably just the ladies, wear all this gold hanging on their body. It's an indication of wealth, but it's real wealth. They could just slip a bangle off and slide it across the counter. Wouldn't you like to be on the receiving end of that deal? I would. Okay, continuing along then. So we have this coming up on the 27th, is that it's an auspicious time for gold buying. It's also helping to support the prices. Lower prices have helped physical demand to recover. And, of course, I've read several articles this morning. We don't need to go into those. But in Dubai and in India and other places, because of the lower or the diminished or diminuted price of gold, there's been more buying now in the East. And, of course, we heard that. We heard that appeal coming and coming and coming in the news. So we could anticipate, as we come into these festival seasons over there, that we would see a responding lowering of the price of gold to accommodate those that were going to come in to the market in the East. They were selling all their junk jewelry. Remember the articles that we read about? All right, continuing along. Here's another important player, again, back in this article. The trust, here we go. Investor demand remains sluggish, relatively sluggish, However, holdings of the SPDR Gold Trust, the world's largest gold-backed exchange-traded fund, that's an ETF, were steady on Tuesday from the previous day. The trust's holdings have declined 19 tons in the last 4 weeks. So if we go back and we follow along the various reports that we've been giving, tracking this gold trust, we can see that we can take 19 tons off the 1,500 number that we had previously. And we can also see that as they've been selling 19 tons over the last 4 weeks into the gold market, these may very well be those 19 tons that we see coming into Mumbai and Dubai. Here, we've sold around, this is a little bit further from it, we've sold around 100 kilograms this morning, said a dealer with a private bank in Mumbai. Gold imports in India have also picked up this month after an extremely slow period at the beginning of 2009. And yes, it was an extremely slow period. We reported on that. In the month of January and February, for most of March, there was almost no buying of gold in India. But we can see here that the SPDR sold 19 tons into the marketplace. And so if this particular dealer sold 100 kilograms, a kilogram is 2.2 pounds, if I remember from the 60s and the 70s. Well, I couldn't tell you why I'd know what a key was. But nevertheless, I think it's 2.2 pounds. And we're talking 19 tons of gold in the last 4 weeks. I think we might be able to find out where we've got the gold for India's purchases. The continuing, the 21.7 tons in ETF outflows that were made on Thursday and Friday. 21.7 tons in ETF outflows made on Thursday and Friday of last week. So now we go back and we look at those spikes that we were seeing coming into the market. They were bringing and driving the price of gold down as someone was selling, and apparently it's these ETFs plural, not just SPDR, but the ETFs plural. Of course, SPDR sold 19 tons, so they sold the bulk of it. There was only 3.7 tons sold by others, but the 21.7 tons in ETF outflows that were made on Thursday and Friday will counteract support from the predicted 30 tons of imports to India. So we see we're almost balancing this out, a balancing act here. Again, that's one of the reasons why I'm sharing with you this article, because I think that we really need to pay attention to these gold trusts, these SPDRs, these exchange-traded funds. This is not quite the same as going out and beating the brush and trying to find all of the gold bugs that have something hidden in their sock drawer. This is a much different opportunity here. They can buy and sell this stuff electronically, and it just moves from one vault to another, and there's no middleman really other than just these trusts. And they're huge. If you haven't gone up and looked at the website, GLD website, SPDR Gold Trust, if you don't realize, we've talked about it in the past, that they're in bed with the World Gold Council, etc., let's do pay attention, folks. There's, you know, like I say, there's this 20,000-pound elephant that's doing pirouettes on the parlor piano. Maybe we should take note. Among other precious metals, spot platinum was bid at blah, blah, blah. We can go through that. Chinese import data showed China imported 3,566 kilograms of platinum in March, up more than 35% from a year before. If you remember, we've been looking at platinum. I've been saying, watch that. Been noticing that it's going up and going up. Somebody's buying platinum, and it was the Chinese here. They're up more than 35% from a year before. But remember also the article that we got out of, I don't remember the source, in regards to the Russians looking at minting a platinum coin. And then we had a U.S. mint talk about minting a platinum coin as kind of a collectible. So there are some moves in the platinum area that we need to be paying attention to as well. And this morning, platinum was trading at $1,173. I found another article earlier this morning, early about, and I'm talking about like 5:30 this morning, that was talking about how platinum may be going lower and much lower, like into the $500, $600 range. So you might want to pay attention there. Be real careful when you get involved in these things. It's a great way to turn a large fortune into a small fortune in a heartbeat. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us. Lots more news ahead of us and a little study on anarchism. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
always the money will expose the strongest voice. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Well, we're back once again, and the call-in number is 866-841-1065. If you've got something on your mind, like to get off your chest today, feel free to call in. Going back to this economic news for a few more minutes here, this is another article off of Bloomberg. Soaring U.S. budget deficit will mean billions in bond sales. Boy, wouldn't you like to have access to the printing press, folks? Tell you what, this article by Michael McKee, Bloomberg, this morning's article, millions of lost jobs means billions in lost tax revenue for the U.S. government and billions in additional treasury debt to fund a federal budget deficit that may soar to more than 4 times last year's record of $454.7 billion. If you can believe anything that comes off the government's ledger sheet. But here we go. This is important. I mean, millions of lost jobs mean billions in lost tax revenue. Not only do they have the Tea Party there on the 15th, there are also far few people standing in line to put their little envelope in to swear out their declaration of fealty, if you will, and make their contribution to the great hoers on the Potomac. And that's important, because it's going to translate throughout the entire economy. You know, it happens, it involves the states, it involves the counties, it involves all of the local districts, the school boards, the whole thing, your hospital districts, everything. You just can't throw millions and millions of people out of work and keep the good ship afloat, you know, so to speak. So let's go into the article a little further. Employers cut 3.7 million positions from their payrolls in the 6 months since the fiscal year began on October the 1st. 4 million people, folks, standing around, you know, sitting at the house, looking as the last, you know, crust of bread goes out of the pantry and the last grain of rice is served up. 3.7 million people. And the unemployment reached a 25-year high of 8.5% in March. Of course, if you've been listening to the other analysts, that figure is likely to be much higher. That suggests receipts for April, the biggest month for tax collection, are likely to come in well below the April 2008 level, analysts said. With spending on unemployment insurance and other safety net programs rising, the deficit is already at a record $956.8 billion 6 months into the fiscal year. To help close that gap, the Treasury Department has more than quadrupled borrowing, pushing the government deeper into debt. So we don't have the money. The people don't have the money. The producers of wealth are going out of business. Even governments are starting to have to cut back their employee list. And so what does the Fed do? Aggravate the problem by borrowing even more money and throwing it into the system. Great, wonderful, brilliant, intelligent. Tax receipts are just collapsing, said Chris Ahrens, A-H-R-E-N-S. Wonder if he's got a yarmulke on this morning. The head of interest rate strategy at UBS Securities LLC in Stamford, Connecticut, one of the 16 primary dealers required to bid at Treasury auctions. Notice the phrase. The 16 primary dealers required to bid at Treasury auctions. How would you like to be bound into a contract like that? You're required to bid on this debt. The need to sell more debt, quote, is a big issue in the Treasury market, and it is outgoing. It is ongoing. The surging budget deficit is the primary cause, close quote. How would you like to be responsible, bound, to find people to buy the debt? What a job that would be, huh? The government will have to sell $2.4 trillion in new bills, notes, and bonds in fiscal 2009, according to UBS. From October through December, the Treasury sold a record of $569 billion, up from $82 billion in the same period a year earlier, and auctioned another $493 billion in the last quarter, up from $156 billion. That helps to make up for the drop in tax receipts, pay for the rise in spending, and refinance maturing debt. Along with the principal, the sales add additional interest costs to the deficit for years to come. And then it goes on and on and on in a very long article here. I will spare you from it. But it talks about the unemployment benefits. It talks about the plummeting receipts even on the from the federal and from the local. Lower earnings, higher refunds. They talk about the income tax and so on. Close the gap. Here we go. Let's close out this on the economic news on this final paragraph. The close the gap, they say, states and cities are also being hit hard by unemployment effect on tax revenue. The 23,300 Wall Street jobs that disappeared in the year through February helped blow a $16 billion hole in New York State budget. Well, boo-hoo. 23,300 Wall Street jobs. Yeah. They'll all be over in Dubai and in Israel in their condos, probably. But let's continue. State officials are trying to close that gap by raising taxes, which will likely restrain spending and slow recovery. So we raise taxes even though we're having escalation of unemployment. That's brilliant planning. The attack on bonuses, well, we're only going to cover that. What a nonsensical story that was. While lower than expected withholding tax receipts are also always a matter of concern, this shortfall appears to be due to lower than projected bonus payments, blah, blah, blah. Nonsense. We'll let it go. That's enough of that. Here's just a heads up. And I really do. I thank you all so very much for loading up my mailbox with all of this interesting stuff. This one from the Ozarks Voters for Ron Paul. Off our website, Ron Paul's Audit the Fed Bill needs your help. Of course, everybody's been hearing about that. But he has got he's got 55 co-sponsors on this bill. So H.R. 1207, the Audit the Fed Bill, now in committee, and we need to step up our support efforts to get this thing to a vote on the floor. Well, I hope it will, and I hope they'll do more than just talk about it. I hope they'll actually get around to it. But we'll never see any of this action if we don't support this bill, so here we go. The bill, Ron Paul's bill to audit the Federal Reserve Bank, H.R. 1207, has now garnered 55 co-sponsors and has been referred to the House Committee on Financial Services. I reported on that House Committee on Financial Services earlier this week as a kind of an inbred place where if you can get positioned on there, you've just about got a guaranteed career in politics. It's just one of those committees, that Financial Services Committee. Let's continue here. The bill will now be debated and voted upon in the committee and will then either go to the House for a debate and vote or will be defeated. Most bills die in committee for lack of support. There's no way to know how long it'll stay in committee. That means it's all up to you. It's a major step forward for our movement to get the House to even consider a bill which questions the autonomous authority of the Fed. We must make the most of this opportunity. We need to step up and give the situation all our attention now. This is our chance to shine. So the writer has written here, April the 27th, audit the Fed, melt the switchboard day. On April the 27th, we'll follow up our nationwide End the Fed rallies with an audit the Fed, melt the switchboard day. The congressional number is 1-877-851-6437. If you've got your pencil handy, I'll give that again in a moment. And they want to focus particularly on the members of the House Financial Services Committee and also praise and applaud those representatives who have co-sponsored the H.R. 1207. Here's that number again. Congressional Switchboard 877-851-6437, April the 27th. If you want to make those phone calls, I'm sure everyone would appreciate your support on that. I think we really need to get rid of Congress and get rid of these committees, and then we'll be able to easily get rid of the Fed in that order. I don't think it'll come the other way, but we'll see. As Lee and others and myself have been reporting, the whole idea is to get rid of the Federal Reserve as we go into the super central bank, and so the Federal Reserve is just going to be relegated to the dustbin, I am quite confident, in the near future. Chris Simcox, somebody that maybe many of you know about, here's another one of these emails I received from the listeners. Chris Simcox, with a national base and a high profile on the right, is well positioned to give McCain a serious local headache. He'll find some allies among the conservatives who recently took over the Arizona Republican Party from McCain's allies. And he has a national fundraising base. Now here we go. Here's the article. Minuteman Chris Simcox will run against Senator John McCain in 2010. I am a proud member of Chris Simcox's organization, Minuteman Civil Defense Corps. I've met Chris on several occasions, and I think highly of him and his organization. I consider him a true patriot, and he has literally put his life on the line by doing what he's doing. Through his work, he has brought the issue of illegal immigration to the forefront and encouraged thousands of citizens across America to follow his example and get involved in taking our country back. Through his work, he has also saved the lives of many illegal aliens who would otherwise have died trying to cross our border illegally. He seems to have a big heart and is a true American patriot. And then the article continues, and there's a link to Chris's campaign website in the article. But I'll just simply say this. If we don't recognize the international migration and development agenda promulgated by the United Nations, why then, of course, we don't understand the immigration issues. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
And we're back once again right here on Become Vocal Local, streaming into the last segment. My, this hour is flying by. Streaming into the last segment of the first hour of today's Become Vocal Local broadcast. And for any of you who have ever taken the drive from San Diego to Key West, you'll know the magnitude of the difficulty of closing the southern border. Not only have I driven that route, I've also hitchhiked that route, and it is one long haul, let me tell you. And for any of you that have ever made the journey from Seattle, Washington to New York City, you can understand, perhaps, and appreciate a little better the magnitude of the task of closing the northern border. It's ridiculous. It goes so far beyond ridiculous, I think they go from ridiculous to sublime. The idea of actually building a fence along our southern border that would be solid enough, big enough, tall enough, and secure enough to keep determined people, human beings, from crossing that obstacle is ridiculous. It's the kind of stuff that makes great evening news, and it makes for real good pontification when you're stumping for office, but it is absolutely ludicrous. And my opinion of the various and sundry groups and organizations was greatly diminished. These anti-illegal alien, anti-immigration folk, I'm as absolutely steadfast opposed to illegal aliens as anyone you might meet, but these various and sundry groups and grand poobahs that I've spoken with, when I tried to bring to their attention this pesky little compendium known as the International Migration and Development Agenda from the United Nations, they don't seem to be aware of it, nor do they want to speak of it, and of course they can't afford to do that. Because if they revealed to their many, many followers and their many sponsors and contributors the magnitude of the global initiative, they would just kind of look like guys standing on soapboxes again. But that's one of the reasons why you can gain a little bit by coming here every morning and listening to this broadcast, because we give you the information that no one else wants to touch. not Simcox, not Corsi, not Spencer. They don't want to touch it. Not even our friend out in California. But anyway, there are things going on a global scale that make these borders remain open. Treaties, agreements, United Nations, agendas, things that we have agreed to and signed on to and bought into that need to stop. We already have a competent, we do have a competent immigration and system if we would but use it. But again, it keeps coming right back down to the same thing. There's this established two-party political system that stands between where we are today and where we need to be in the future. And as long as we continue to allow ourselves to be dialogued into this divisive house and support of these various political parties, we're not going to get any closer at any time in the future, probably likely never. We'll never get any closer to resolving these various issues. And so rather than spending all of my time worrying about the border and so on and so forth, instead of worrying about the symptoms and all of the victims, I like to concentrate on the disease. And if we can concentrate on the disease, then maybe we can eliminate or cure the disease, and then all these symptoms and victims will take care of themselves. One, two, three, like so many dominoes. Now, for those of you that listened to yesterday's broadcast, I spent 2 hours interviewing Galen Chadwick from the Well-Fed Neighbor Alliance. And I'm going to talk about this again on Friday, but I just want to remind you to please go and take a look at the website, Well-Fed Neighbor Alliance. And if you would be so kind as to click on all of the various little extra pages in there and read it very carefully, then you'll understand where I'm going to go on Friday. So I brought him on. I'm going to have him on my other broadcast, and yes, I have more than one. You can go to my website, vocallocal.org, and find out all about that. I don't plug the other sites here. But I'm going to have him on tomorrow and give him another opportunity to have his, say. And I value people that are working. He definitely is on the right track when it comes to food. But there are bigger issues here. Here's an article that was, again, sent to me by a listener. EPA declares human breath, CO2, a pollutant, written by Thomas Edel on Monday of April the 20th. The EPA on April the 17th proposed new regulations to control carbon dioxide, or CO2, and five other greenhouse gases as pollutants under Section 202A of the Clean Air Act on April the 17th. These are proposed now. We've been hearing about this coming for a long time. Cattle farting and fart taxes and all of that. But this is an important one, and there have been many people that have pontificated on this and brought this to light. There's nothing new in this article. I'm just bringing it out here as a follow-on to yesterday's broadcast. While not mentioning what aspects of carbon dioxide emissions will be regulated, the carbon dioxide emitted from automobiles and power plants is definitely on the regulation block. The first step toward costly and far-reaching regulations is that the EPA establish carbon dioxide as a regulatory pollutant. Even though all plants need carbon dioxide for photosynthesis, and all animals exhale carbon dioxide. In fact, about 8% of man-made worldwide carbon dioxide emissions are due to simple human breathing. The EPA says they do not want to regulate this activity for now, but there's no chemical difference between CO2 emitted from a gasoline engine and that emitted from the human lung. The proposed new regulations are the result of a lawsuit by former Massachusetts Attorney General Thomas Riley that took the EPA to the U.S. Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruled in 2007 in the case of Massachusetts versus the EPA, that the EPA should drop proposed regulations of so-called greenhouse gases that are emitted by automobiles. Four of the proposed pollutants to be regulated by the EPA in this 133-page proposal are emitted by automobiles, but two have no connection to the Supreme Court decision. The new leaders of the EPA have the Obama, Barry the Usurper administration, saw the Supreme Court ruling as a green light to regulate almost every aspect of human conduct. You see, if we can understand the agenda behind the agenda, if we can understand the agenda behind the propaganda, then we're in a better position when we become vocal local to recognize the sustainable development mercenaries and the change agents as they come and they transition from global to local. And we're going to talk about this more on Thursday, and we're going to go into it in a greater detail, I can assure you. I'm also looking forward to enticing a very competent researcher, Vicki Davis, to come and join us on air. She's got some research in a three-part series that I'd like to run right here on Oracle. Maybe we could get her to come join us on Monday. That would be nice if that can be possible. Not everybody gets up at this time of the day. People on the West Coast, that's even more of a burden for them, but maybe we can entice her to do that. Anyway, we're just about up to the end of the hour. On this hour, here's a quick note. On Thursday, April the 30th of 2009 at 7 o'clock p.m., in the Corley Auditorium, Webster Hall at the Missouri Southern State University in Joplin, Missouri, John McManus, the president of the John Birch Society and the publisher of The New American, is coming to speak, and he's going to talk about the bailout, after the bailout, and so on. And I've been invited to come and help with that, and I may do that. I don't really have a basic problem with the materials, a lot of the materials that are published by the John Birch Society. In fact, I've got quite a number of their books from their book-selling system in my own library. And it would be an opportunity for me to meet McManus, and I've never had that opportunity before, and so I may very well go and volunteer some time to help these guys, you know, get this going. I've also been invited to be a chairman, I guess, a local organizer for a John Birch Society chapter. But I'm not inclined in that direction. I like to be unaffiliated. I mean, affiliation is about as close as I want to get. I don't join very much. And with the Ron Paul system, there was an opportunity there to take Become Vocal Local and the idea of local precinct activism to the street. And so that was primarily my goal in that. But we, as William Cooper always advises, we listen to everybody, we read everything, and then we believe nothing until we can prove it in our own research. So I look forward to that. Hopefully we'll be able to get together with Mr. McManus on the 30th of April, and you'll get the full report if I decide to struggle up there and participate in that. Nevertheless, all of that. When we come back after this first break, we're going to go back into our study of anarchy as an idea, as a philosophy, and an ism. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solution. solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at debtcrisissolutions.com. That's debtcrisissolutions.com today.
As America limps on its last legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And we are back once again. Welcome back to the Wednesday, April the 22nd, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. As we begin the second hour, we come to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Visit the website, crawl around on that one as well. You can go to the Oracle store and buy all kinds of great Oracle logo gear for your little doggy puppies and for yourself, your own body, and those coasters, mugs, all that great cafe press stuff. Lots of ways to support the network. Certainly one of the best ways we can all support this network is by getting a micro broadcasting station going right where you are and rebroadcast this signal to a wider and wider audiences. My name is William Roberts, and in the first hour we talked about financial issues and some news articles. Now we're going to switch hats here and go back into our research mode. I will just draw to your attention one more time. In this hour yesterday we did have a special guest with us, Galen Chadwick from the Well-Fed Neighbor Alliance, and I encourage everyone to take the time to go and look at that website and let the scales fall off your eyes. Read very carefully and check out all of the various links and all of the associations and all of that. Absolutely no one wants to starve, and at this time there are many things that we can do and we can do locally. But we need to be very, very careful. We need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, so to speak, as I say. And we have to be extremely careful who we allow into our tent. And if you'll check that website out quite carefully, I think you'll find that it's worth looking at. Anyway, we'll talk about that on Friday. Let's go back into our inquiry into the origins and the history of anarchy. We've started this study, gone 2 days on it. This would be part three, I think. But I'll have to check the archives to make sure. And certainly if you've missed the other talks on this, you might look into the archives. You know, everyone wants to talk about no government. No government. Man, yeah, I can go with you for a little ways on that. No tyrannical government, no despotic government, no government that steps outside of its bounds. But I haven't been able to find any time in recorded history, anything that's been written down. Of course, we don't know what all has been taken away, but nothing that's been written down at any time where we haven't had government. Human beings, and that's that politically socialized human being that we've talked about in the past, do better in society or group than they do by themselves. Individually, it is exceedingly difficult to make it on this planet. Yeah, there are lots of real sturdy folk. I'm one of them. But even if you go back, and as I have, I've spent most of a winter reading Mountain Man books of all things, Trappers, Westward Expansion, all of the various cattle driver books, I don't have the names of all the various authors, Louis L'Amour is one, but there was a great number of these Mountain Men, Fur Trapper books that were in the flea markets around this area, and I just picked them up, you know, the paperbacks for a dime, quarter. And I don't know, I think I read somewhere in the neighborhood of 150, almost 200 of them in a winter. I spent the whole winter in that study. The whole idea of the westward expansion, the exploration, settling the west, all of that. And learned a lot about it because many of the writers of those western novels and many of those writers of the Mountain Man series, you know, that's not ancient history, folks. That's late 1800s, early 1900s. Many of those writers actually did it. And so they were looking, or their family, or the father did it, you know. They were part of the system. And so they were looking at the very near history, and they were writing about it. And so many of them were very colorful and realistic. Of course, at that time, I was just getting started in black powder shooting, and had a good friend that was inviting me to go to rendezvous and those sort of things, the bourgeois, you know. And so I was interested in that. And that was about the same time that I got interested in amateur blacksmithing, which I have done and have become. I'll be back on the other side, folks. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned right here, and welcome back to the April the 22nd, 2-11s there, April 22nd, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local as we begin the second hour, coming to you right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Just a little bit in review of what we went over in the last hour in the top segment there. And then we're going to continue. I just got a heads up in the chat room that today is Earth Day. I knew this was Administrative Professionals Day, but Earth Day, boy, I'll tell you what, I've got stories on that one. I'm confident it wasn't the first Earth Day event, but I was in People's Park in Berkeley, California, a long time ago in the 70s, at a outdoor concert, if you will, set up on a just kind of a rude platform. Quite a few concerts happened there. But on that particular day, there was a lot of people there. You know, if you've never been to People's Park, you know that it was just basically dirt. It was a large, empty space. Could easily have been for a factory or something that got knocked down or a little subdivision that had gotten bulldozed out. but it was a place that was set aside for all the hippy-dippy, you know, types to congregate. People's Park is what it was called. You know, socialist, communist, kind of a berserkly California. Anyway, notice that there were some guys in shirts and ties. Some of them had sports coats on, slacks, of course. But wasn't unusual in those days. A lot of guys went to college wearing clothes like that, and everybody went to work that way, too. There used to be a time where we weren't wearing baggies all the time. We weren't always dressed in T-shirts. That came after the hippies. But was at that place that day. These guys were coming through the audience, and they had cardboard boxes under their arms, and they were handing out to people 3x5 cards. You know, I'll never one to refuse something free. I kind of got in the way of the guy carrying the box nearest me and received one of these 3x5 cards. And right square in the middle of it, there was a little cloisonné pin. It was an E, kind of an elliptical E symbol, the Earth symbol. And, of course, everybody was wearing peace symbols at the time, anti-war protesting badges, pins, buttons, all that kind of stuff. And so it was another one of these little pins. You could just stick this pin on you. But there was a 3x5 card, and it was covered with printing, almost micro-printing, what we would call it today. And it told all about Earth Day and why Earth Day was important. Maybe it was on this day back then in the 1970s when that happened. Anyway, I kept that card for years, had it in a glove box in my Volkswagen sedan, and kept it around, probably forgot to take it out of the glove box when I sold the car. But can't find it. I've looked for it. I would love to have had that 3x5 card just to remember, just to read again what it was said on there. But nevertheless, I wrote a song in those days. I did a lot of songwriting, street musician and whatnot. And I wrote a song, and in that song, the lyric is that on that day, our eyes were turned from freedom to ecology. From freedom to ecology. It was not long after that that the flower children started to emerge on the scene, and from then we went on to the communes and all of that. And we turned from being, you know, anti-war protesters, if you will. So many of the anti-war protesters had a dog in the fight. Myself and many others had a brother or a sister that was in Vietnam or in some way related to it. And so I wanted to see that war ended as quickly as it possibly could so that hopefully my brother would be able to come home and come home alive. So I had a reason for the season, if you will. Nevertheless, that was the day, according to my song anyway, that our eyes, and certainly the eyes of all the people that were there at that park that day, People's Park in Berserkly, California, that our eyes were turned from freedom to ecology. And the Jim Morrison crowd and all of those people from that ashram or commune that they had set up there in the hills started to change the lyrics and the music, and we started to move away from anti-war to ecology and earth worship. The door was open to Gaia, if you will. Now, what has all that got to do with anarchy? Absolutely nothing. It was just something that I saw in the chat room, so I'm just respond to that. But let's go back to this idea of anarch. What is an anarch? An, the prefix, indicates not or without. And as we've seen, this arch indicates a ruler or a leader. For example, a matriarch or a patriarch or an oligarch. And in our study, we found that this arch, you can go all the way back to the Bible, and you can pick it up there. And we looked at archons. Who were the archons? This family of Codrus. Who are the Codrus? Who's Codrus? We can find them in churches, synagogues, the synagogues of Satan, synagogues in Jerusalem at the time. We also find and pick up their trail in Greece, 17 dynasties. The archons were appointed for life, or elected for life. So that could be as long as 1,700 years, maybe, or less, maybe 800 years at the outside, that the archons ruled in Greece. And so when we say anarch, we're saying no to a ruler or a leader, and perhaps a dynastic ruler or a leader, or perhaps some other kind of being. It's hard to say what Melchizedek was. Was he just a regular human being? Were the Zadokites just regular human beings that just happen to have gotten the favor of the people and were supported as high priests? It's questionable. Something to look into. Maybe some of the other researchers on this network have done that, and I would profit by listening to their archives. I'd love to learn more about it. And speaking of archives, that was where we left off. The archive, again, is derived from the Greek word meaning the seat of government. And the Latin archivium, or archivium, is a room or a building in which the records or the charters and other important papers belonging to the state, the community, or family were kept. But through the morphing of the meanings of words, the meaning of archive has been transformed from that building to the document. And so we look at the archives of these broadcasts as electronic copies of these broadcasts kept for you. As opposed to being in a simple, you know, in a building someplace, they're kept on the web for you. And we went through that and we saw the creation of the National Archives building in our country, one of the finest edifices of its kind in the world, so on and so forth, back in the 30s being completed. Now, as we also touched on the archangels, an angel of superior or of the highest rank. This is, again, we're looking at this arch, anarch. We're doing the word study. And now we've kind of transitioned now from dictionary studies into the encyclopedias, an archbishop, the name of a chief bishop, the archdeacon. We're talking about the priesthood again, archdeacon, an ecclesiastical dignitary next in rank below a bishop, jurisdiction over either a part or a whole of the diocese. We're talking diocese like as in counties, an archduke, a title whose authority and power is superior to that of dukes. The designation was assumed in modern times only by the princes of the late imperial house of Austria. Now we're invoking the Habsburg dynasty, ran for what, 600 or more years? In France, in the reign of Dagobert, there was an Archduke of Austrasia, and at a later period, the governors of provinces of Brabant and Lorraine were termed archdukes. So there's a lot to it. We'll be back on the other side. Stay with us.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
And we're back once again, going into this idea of anarch a little bit deeper here, trying to wrap our minds around this a little bit, get a better understanding of it, be careful about the things that we sign on to, especially things that end in isms, these various and sundry belief systems that just kind of come up, well up out of the body politic, if you will. So we're looking at Archduke again. The designation was assumed in modern times only by the princes of the late Imperial House of Austria. That's important. The Dukes of Austria assumed the title of Archduke in 1156, but the dignity was not confirmed until 1453, so 1,000 years after the, so to speak, time of Christ, where we see the reference to these archons, which had for hundreds of years, perhaps, ruled in Greece. We see this, and then, you know, Greece to Austria, take your compass out, you know, scribe your arc, get your square. Find out the distance. Do your math. Pythagoras. Anyway, you look at this Dukes of Austria, and you realize that that's not far removed from Greece. You could do that on a horse. You could do it on foot if you wanted to. Anyway, you surely can do it on a bicycle if you can find the right routes. Pretty mountainous areas up in there. But nonetheless, I also touched on previously this idea of one man, one woman. You know, and the idea of trying to enshrine that in constitutional documents. There's no place for that, in my opinion, in the Constitution. It should be as obvious as the nose on our face. But in a time of a calamity or after a war or in the roll-up of a war or during wars or great famines and things like that, one man and one woman is a pretty slow way to repeople an area. There are benefits to be gained by polygamous ideas. And again, we listen to everybody, believe nobody, you know, prove all things in your own research, but there are benefits to gain in polygamy, especially if you're going into an area that is unpeopled and you want to people it. But there's also a benefit to be gained for some of these archons. One man, you know, could be with at least a dozen or more wives in a year and be producing 12 children a year. In 12 years, it's 144, and some of those would already be ready to breed again. And if we look at it for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, century piled on century, some of the families that are of greatest antiquity do just that. And so you'll find their descendants almost anywhere. My last name is Roberts, as I say every day on this broadcast. Not ashamed of it. I don't hide behind a fictitious name. You can look in any a telephone book. Whether you're in Austin, whether you're in Dallas, whether you're in Seattle or St. Louis or Cleveland or any place, and look at all of the Robertses in the telephone book. Same thing with Smith and Jones and Johnson and all that. It doesn't take very long. You know, we've been here 250 some odd years, and there you'll find them in every city of America. And so it doesn't take very long for families to grow and grow almost, well, it's not exponentially, but it is not math, it's not arithmetic, it is geometric. There is a geometric expansion. I don't know what the number is. I'm sure Malthus would have the formula for us so that we would know how to multiply it out properly. But nevertheless, when you look at these various families, these old lineages, and you account for all of the various breeding programs that they follow, we shouldn't be surprised that there are a gob and a bunch of them globally. And so when we look at an arc, opposed to the arcs, or the archons, and cadres, the family thereof, these ancient families, we may want to, you know, like I said in the previous broadcast when we were reading from Mark and other Bible passages, you know, if Jesus be for it, how can you be against it, so to speak? But is there something here? Is there a reason why we want to condemn or castigate anarchism and make it a bad thing? Well, things have changed. So let's go a little further here. Arcs are also used as memorials or triumphals. And back in the time of the Peloponnesian Wars, we went through that. The book The Peloponnesian Wars of Thucydides was the historian of that, the author. And you can read it and you'll find out that every time they conquered one of these, you know, Sparta and Athens were going at it and the others, every time they would conquer each other, then they would set up their trophies. And when they got home, they would create their arches. Anarchs. Arches. Memorial and triumphal. Monumental structures erected in honor of a prominent person. There's your arc. Or a memorable event. You know, your archons. And memorable events. Great valor in war. The mighty men of valor. Just trying to bring this, 2,000 years of history here together. In the custom of temporarily decorating the gates of the cities with garlands and trophies. On the return of a victorious general, we can find the original of the triumphal arc. These are similar in form, whether commemorating a peaceful event or militarily triumphant generals. At that period also, memorial arches or fornices, it's like a cornice, but a fornice, fornices, were erected in memory, or erected, use of word there, important, erected in memory of some individual or to ornament a city. But it was not until the time of the empire that the triumphal arc, the arcus, A-R-C-U-S, came into use to perpetuate the glory of a person who had obtained the honor, who had obtained the honors of a triumph, triumph, the arc de triomphe. Arches were often placed at the entrances of cities, becoming in such a position merely monumental forms of a city gate. The usual form of triumphal or memorial arch was employed a high and imposing semi-circular arch as its central motive, resting on heavy piers. Now we just take, well, above this was a heavy mass of stonework or attic, on which was placed a suitable inscription. The Arc of Titus at Rome is the most remarkable for its purity, the beauty of its sculptures, and the harmony of its proportions. Important there, its purity, the beauty of its sculpture, the harmony of its proportions. It was probably erected by a comitian in honor of Titus to recall his conquest of Jerusalem. In panels on the inner sides of the piers are sculptured on one side, the triumph of Titus on his quadriga, surrounded by soldiers. On the other side, the triumphal procession with the spoils of the capital T temple, the sacred vessels, and the seven-branched candlestick. At the foot of the capital, as the side of the forum, is the arch of Septimus Severus, erected in honor of this emperor and his two sons to commemorate their victories over the Parthians and the Arabians, and so on. It continues. But we get the idea that there are a lot of these. There's the arc of Alfonso V of Aragon at Naples, erected in 1470. There's the Port St. Denis and Port St. Martin at Paris, erected by Louis XIV. Others in France included the Arc of Carousel, the Arc of Etoile, the Arc of Marseille. Napoleon I did those. The Brandenburg Gate, King Frederick William II of Prussia. And the Washington Arch in New York, built in 1889. A lot of these arcs, the archons, mighty men of valor, represented by the arcs. You know, the Masons had mysteries. Those that understand mathematics and understand stoneworking, there's a certain mystery in all of that, the architects. These are mysteries, and we've talked about that before. You learn something unique, something marketable, a skill, a trade. You carve out a niche in the great sandstone wall of life. You climb up into your niche and you wall yourself in with specialized language, and we might add symbology, symbols. And then you hang out your little sign and you sell your services to others. Many of the mysteries blacksmithing, woodworking, steelworking, the Archimedes screw, the ability to create devices, machines, if you will, war machines, boats, all of that, the shipwrights. These are all the mysteries. Some of them are religions, some of them are trades and crafts. We'll be back.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned. So as we were coming into the into that break, we were just starting in or actually closing out on this idea of these various arches and stuff like that. And I opined in regard to the various artisans and the crafts and the guilds and all the various trades that have come up over the centuries. You know, all of these were considered as mysteries. The idea of apprenticeship to keep the number of people in the trade to the very least number, so that you have the greatest demand. You know, demand always drives all of this. And so, if you can raise your craft or your guild or your skill or your profession up to a level of a mystery and exclude others by licensing and regulating and taxing other people out of the existence on it, then you can create monopolies for your own guilds, for your own lodges, so to speak. And there's been a lot of that. But this idea of anarchism, now we move from anarch, which is a simple understanding of being without that ruler, or without that leader, or without that magistrate, or without that priest, that kind of a life, that kind of an attitude. Now we turn it into an ism. We start to come into the modern time period, and we raise it into almost a belief. Well, it is not just almost, it is a belief system, anarchism. And here we go, and we found this when we were doing our dictionary study, that it is a theory of social organization, numbering at this article, at the time this article was written for the Encyclopedia Americana, back in the 50s. Of course, much of this encyclopedia was written far earlier than that. But a theory of social organization, numbering, it is said, about 1 million adherents. So at the time it was written, about 1 million people around the world subscribe to this idea of anarchism. And if you go up on the internet and do studies, you know, Google, Scroogle, or Dogpile, or Web Ferret, anarchism, you'll find that there are many anarchists today, and many who follow this theory, or cult, if you will, of anarchism. Its doctrines represent the extreme of individualism. There's another ism there. And so we could go in and do a complete study on individualism as a follow-on to this series. It looks upon it, that the it there is the anarchism, looks upon all law and government as invasive. The twin sources whence flow nearly all the evils extant in society. It therefore advocates the abolition of all government as we today understand the term, save that originating in voluntary cooperation. Voluntary cooperation. Anarchists do not conceive of a society without order, but of an order arising out of the law of association, preferably through self-governing groups. For it may be said that, with here and there exception, anarchists regard mankind as gregarious. Our object is to live without government and without law, said Alice Recluse. And that recluse, by the way, is the root there for being a recluse. The eminent geographer, and in his day, the leading anarchist of France. Anarchists do not ignore the enormous economies resulting from the law of association, but insist that the law will be better served in a state of freedom and in the absence of all compulsion, or we could say coercion, and pick up the law according to Bastiat, maybe, by inclusion. They believe that everything now done by the state can be better done by voluntary or associated effort, and that no restraint upon conduct is necessary, because of the natural tendency of mankind in a state of freedom to respect the rights of the individual. The repression of crime, where crime might arise, could safely be left to spontaneously created organizations, such as the Vigilance Committee in early California. Of course, you've been hearing recently of the committees of safety, where no state government existed. In the view of Prince Kropotkin, I've read the word 1,000 times, rarely spoken it out loud, Prince Kropotkin, the leading Russian anarchist, no case for litigation would arise after we had abolished the, quote, present system of class privilege and unjust distribution of wealth produced by labor that creates and fosters crime. Now, I'm not endorsing these people, I'm just letting it out, so that we understand some of these things that are bandied around in that Mayak report and other places. Recall the day that, as I mentioned on the air here, when Jane Fonda upbraided me a little bit for intimating that she was a communist before I had sat down and read the Communist Manifesto. Of course, it was that day that I went to the library and got the Communist Manifesto and started to read more about it. But sometimes we embrace these concepts, and some of these deputies out there are looking at my truck, for instance, with the Ron Paul side banners and the Ron Paul bumper stickers and my Ron Paul cap when I go out. Oh, he's got to be one of those militia members. We make mistakes in life when we don't look into the words and the things behind them. So let's continue looking into this. To quote further from Kropotkin, quote, we are nurtured from our birth to believe that we must have government. Yet the history of man proves the contrary. Now, I would have to ask Mr. Kropotkin to provide his sources. He doesn't, and they never do, but he does allude that history proves to the contrary. But continuing here, in all fairness, from the quote, when small bodies or parts of humanity broke down the powers of their rulers, Now we've got this archon, this anarch, not ruler, not leader, not priest, not justice, as in a magistrate. We're in the definition of our word here inside of this sentence. And resumed some part of their foreordained freedom. These were always epochs of the greatest progress, economically and intellectually, in the direct relation to the freedom of the individual he advances. And so we can look right at our own philosophically radical founders when they were saying, not ruler, not king, not monarch, not ruler, not king, not leader, not monarch, but constitution. In other words, they created a framework for this voluntary association, this law of association, the association of the various independent colonies, sovereign colonies, if you will, in this compact or union, without the anarchist on the top. Continuing here, his early attempts at mutualism, here's another ism, were those of W. Thompson in England and J. Warren in the United States. In 1827, Warren opened a Time store in Cincinnati, a Time store. Now again, mutualism. If you will listen to yesterday's broadcast with Galen Chadwick, there is a thread of these Time stores in what was mentioned and discussed there, where labor was exchanged hour for hour in different kinds of goods. It's not easy to sum up in a few paragraphs the leading doctrines of any economic sect and at the same time retain absolute accuracy of statement. It should therefore be said that anarchists, while agreeing that the doctrine of laissez-faire should be extended to all departments of human activity, are by no means in agreement on all points. And if you'll very carefully go through the Well-Fed Neighbor Alliance website, you might find a sentence very similar to that. There are evolutionary and revolutionary anarchists and communist and individual anarchists. Evolutionary and revolutionary. And again, evolution is a word that figures in very heavily, even in some of the pages inside the Welfare Neighbor Alliance. The point on which all are agreed is in their opposition to compulsory forms of government and in regard to the necessary despotism of majorities in a democracy, as only a little less hateful than the despotism of a monarchy. Here's a quote, governments are the scourge of God, said Proudhon, with whom the philosophy of modern anarchism may be said to have begun. So as I've said before, every time you look at these isms, as I've studied philosophy for years, every time you find these isms, if you'll dig thoroughly and research carefully, you'll very often find their founders. And when you find their founders, then if you read and study them, you might be able to find their faith statements and start to unravel the Gordian knot. Pierre-Joseph Proudhon was born in Besançon, France in 1809 and died in 1865. And so he bridges the time period of Karl Mordecai Marx. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us here on Become Vocal Local.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Okay, we returned once again here for our final segment of today's broadcast. We're advancing further into this understanding of anarchism, or anarchy. That'd be a better way of looking at it. Anarchism is an offshoot of the anarchs that go all the way back to the time of Christ in Jerusalem, if you will. If we can use that as a time period, the time when we went from the former calendar to the more modern calendar that preceded the Gregorian calendar, which we now live under. But anyhow, this idea of tracking out who are these founders of these various isms, and we can point right here to this Proudhon, again from the encyclopedia. You see, sometimes you don't have to go to the most arcane, sources. You can get a lot of information right out of simple sources that'll then lead you in different directions and more, sometimes more profitable directions, because none of us are new on these, none of us are trailblazers. All of these various and sundry thoughts, from the time, the age of the Enlightenment and forward, much has been studied, much has been carefully researched, and some has been concealed. But anyway, Pierre Joseph Proudhon, again, he was born in France in 1809, died in 1865, so right up to the time of the War of Northern Aggression, the War of Secession, the American Second Revolution, if you will, the attack by the North on the South, or the any way you want to look at it, he died in that time period. And Karl Mordecai Marx was alive and well at the time. And in Marx's and Engels' Revolution and Counter-Revolution, I recall reading a couple of sentences where Marx is looking at Proudhon and Fourier and some of them, Condé, and branding them as utopians. But also going back to Robinson's book in 1776, The Proofs of a Conspiracy, we must remember that the big deal with the Illuminati, I've had a listener that has sent several emails encouraging me to focus more time on the Illuminati. Well, we talk about the Illuminati every day here. I just don't use the word repetitively. But there's certainly a lot of illumined influence in this concept of anarchism. Or in French, you could say anarchisme, two M's and an E. The idea here, basically, is advanced from Weishaupt, the abolition of all forms of government. Of course, you've got to read carefully and read between the lines because they want to abolish all forms of government, but theirs. They want to abolish all forms of religion, but theirs. And that's important. There's kind of a duplicity in all of this. But we continue. Among his modern precursors, again, that's Proudhon, is William Goodwin, or Godwin, excuse me. Godwin, William Godwin, in Wisbech, England, 1756. He died in London. He was born in England and died in London in 1834, who's better known as the author of the novel Caleb Williams, but who in his Inquiry Concerning Political Justice, which appeared in 1793, advocated the abolition of every form of government and formulated the theory of modern communism. Wonder if you knew that. But modern anarchism as a force in sociological thought began with the publication of Proudhon's famous essay, What is Property? And that came out in 1840. In it, he rejects all law and authority, but in a work which appeared in 1852 entitled The Federative Principle, he seems to have modified in a measure his former theory of government and favors the formation of self-governing communities. Now, see, we heard some of that yesterday. In the former work occurs the phrase which is destined to be forever associated with the name of Proudhon, but which was uttered by the Girondist. Have you ever studied the Girondists? The Girondist, Brissot, a half century earlier, property is robbery. There are lots of people out there that hold a very dim view of property. Of course, life, liberty, and property, Locke's big three. And as we've discovered here in the writings of Andrew J. Galambos and others, property really begins with you and I. And to say that property is robbery says that the individual is robbery, that our freedom is robbery. Difficult to be able to support that kind of a notion, and those that are easily led astray, like all these porch masons, these first third degree guys, and others. Yes, I've said it again now, okay. I don't shy away from a lot of this stuff, but there are other things to discuss, and so we do bring in the Jews and the Jesuits and the Masons and the Illuminati. And again, I'm just responding to the emails that I've received. I don't hide from any of these things. I'm not concerned about them from the standpoint of there are other things that I talk about on this broadcast. But if I find some high-level Mason that needs to have the light of truth turned on him, I'm not ashamed of doing that. But anyway, it was back to the article. It was upon the notion that he had furnished a demonstration of this thesis that Proudhon especially prided himself, this idea that property is robbery. But this phrase, as used by the father of anarchism, now you see how we've raised it up? Slowly but surely, our author is revealing it. The father of anarchism, the ISM, Proudhon, must be held to apply rather to modern methods of acquisition than to property itself. For Proudhon was an individualist, not a communist anarchist, and strove, however unsuccessful he was in making himself directly understood, rather to define than to destroy the idea of property. In all his reasoning on this point, there is much dialectic subtlety, of which, with perverted ingenuity, Proudhon was overly fond. And so when we read all of this older stuff, and again I remind you to be aware of that at this time when these men were writing, the paper, the ink, you know, the parchment, the lamp, and all of these things. This was the form of communication. The printing presses were still, it was still expensive to have your work published. A lot of the people that were writing, Claude Henry Duroy, St. Simon, and others, they had to have sponsors. They had to go out and find a baron or an archduke to underwrite their various projects so that they could submit, you know, to a printing press their work. A lot of their work was circulated by subscriptions. The very wealthy could afford books. The poor could not. There's a lot to that. But today we have the internet, and so we can go viral. Instantaneous explosion of information across the into cyberspace. That wasn't available to these people. And so as a result, they took a great deal of time and effort and energy and pride in their writing, because they were going to have to entice someone to help them to get it to a press and out into the hands of the people. And so some of the writing, like you say here, he was overly fond of the dialectic. He was overly fond of the dialectic subtlety in his writing. You know, sometimes, you know, we're so used to in the chat room, you know, we let our typos just fly. But there was a time when you were writing with ink and a pen, a quill pen, where it was very difficult to correct errors, that even your handwriting was very steady and careful. It had to be clear, it had to be understandable, and it was going to be free of mistakes. And at that time, there wasn't so much distraction pulling at the mind. And so you could sit up in your little anteroom up at the top, or some little room up in your crib up in the attic with your lamp and a window open and enjoying your pipe of tobacco or whatever, opium eaters or whoever. And you could really go into your mind and get the most out of it. And that's one of the reasons why I enjoy so much reading the writings of Proudhon, for instance, and so Grotius and so many of the old writers. Because this was the time, this was the day, this was their media. They were it. And they allowed their minds to go, and they really went into some interesting places. But here today in the 21st century, as we move into the electronic world, we're going to need to understand some of these things, because we're being asked to chase after all of these various and sundry winds of doctrine without understanding what we're actually following. We need to be also very careful at this time period. Just small mistakes here can mean the difference between success and failure in this desire of ours to push back the global cabal, to keep them at bay. Is it possible to put them down forever? I don't know. But put them at bay, we must. We're going to have to get them up a tree where we can all stand around underneath the tree with the dogs with their paws up there, you know, going with it, the chops, keeping our flashlight and rifle focused on them so we can keep them in our scope. We don't lose them in the mist of time again. Anyway, folks, that's all for today. We'll be back again tomorrow and continue it then. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Taking it back one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day Books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.